Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it just good to be gathered here in Jesus' name together? I'll tell you what, as this world gets darker and darker, folks, we need to be in the house of the Lord more than ever, more than ever. We know that society is going to get darker and darker, but the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So we don't have to grow dark with the world. As the world gets darker, our light will just be more apparent. Amen. But we've got to be in God's house. We've got to be feeding on the Word of God. We've got to be found obedient in these days, because there's going to be so much temptation, so much opportunity to not be faithful. Folks, this world needs to see the sons and daughters of God living faithful, sold out to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And today I'm going to call this message, The Lord's Supper, A Lesson in Covenant. The Lord's Supper, A Lesson in Covenant. If you hear that word covenant and it just seems like a churchy word to you, let me tell you, it's not. It's a very important word. It's a biblical word. And I've said this many times, if there was only one thing that you could know about our Heavenly Father, it is this. Everything that God does, everything that God says, is always based on covenant. Covenant means a sold out marriage-like relationship. Covenant means that everything that is God's is yours, and everything that is yours is God's, right? It's much like a marriage, you know, that we have on this earth. Of course, beyond just beyond our relationship with Jesus Christ, through His blood, through His death and resurrection, the most important covenant that exists on this earth is the marriage covenant, right? Praise the Lord. Everything that's yours is hers, and everything that's hers is hers, right? Amen. As long as you keep laughing, I'm going to keep telling that same old joke. Glory to God. But no, that's what a covenant relationship is. You are sold out to one another. It means extreme loyalty. It means extreme faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful to our vows, to our commitments. You know, marriage isn't the only covenant relationship we have on this earth. We have a covenant relationship even with our employer. All right, there's a covenant there. You have agreed, you know, to be honorable. You've agreed to be honest and faithful to them, right? Also, we have a covenant relationship here with our local church. You know, we're not just here like it's a drive-thru. We don't treat the church like Burger King, nor do we demand to have it our way, right? That works great at the drive-thru, but it does not work good in the local church. We don't get it our way in the church. We get it His way. You know, we don't try to make God conform to us. We conform to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so today, when we talk about communion, and as we partake in the Lord's Supper together, we're here to learn something about covenant, because that is ultimately what communion is about. Praise the Lord. We know that communion tells us a lot about God the Father and Jesus Christ. It tells us what kind of God we have. We have a faithful God. We have a sacrificial God. We have a giving God, a merciful God, a generous God who's good and good all the time. Amen. And God loves us. He cares for us so much. He put the highest value He possibly could on our lives. If you're having any self-esteem issues in your life, I'm telling you, get rid of yourself and get in with God. Amen. And you won't have any more self-esteem issues when you realize just how much God paid for you, how much He loves you, and how much He values you. Amen. And of course, we learn a lot about Christ and His faithfulness and His willingness to serve us and to sacrifice Himself. Praise the Lord. It also reminds us of God's power. It reminds us of our commitment and faithfulness to Him. Praise the Lord. All right. But, of course, we've got to ask ourselves this question. We know that communion is a time where we examine our lives. And today, each of us, on the inside, in our heart, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of person am I? Am I a covenant person or am I a selfish person? Because that is what communion is. It is a place and a time where you come to crucify selfishness. To be a covenant person, it means that you're loyal and faithful within your relationships. Amen. It means that you do what's right by others, not just by yourself. That you are sold out to somebody. That you're committed to them. You wouldn't do just what's right for you, but for your entire family and your church family. See, you wouldn't ever want to betray somebody. You wouldn't want to bring disgrace to the Lord. But you want to represent your family well. You want to represent the Lord well. How many of you want to represent the Lord well? Amen, I do. See, when you're a covenant person, your marriage is sacred to you. When you're a covenant person, your family is sacred to you. Your church family is sacred to you. You know, when you're a covenant person, you look to serve somebody. You look to help somebody. You look to pray for somebody. But if you're a selfish person, you'll just come to church. You'll sit here just for yourself. You'll look just to have your problem solved. You'll look just to, you know, get God's blessing for you four and no more. You know, if you're not careful, we can attend church selfishly. And honestly, that spirit of selfishness has gotten into the American church, where it's become about entertainment. It becomes about whether or not we like the music or we like one of their social programs or something like that. You listen, we're not careful. We're not here to bless ourselves. We're here to serve someone else. Yeah. See, when you're a selfish person, you don't care about getting to know your church family. You don't care about praying for them. You just want them to pray for you. All right. And if we're not careful, we will attend church selfishly. But here's the thing. We take communion to crucify selfishness. Folks, the power of God is on the other side of you caring for somebody else. It's on the other side of you praying for somebody else. Let's face it. In America, faith has become the idea of enriching yourself. The perverted prosperity gospel has convinced people that the goal of faith is to get more money or to have more things. Now, is God against you having more money? No. Is God against you having, you know, nice things? No. He wants to bless you, but he doesn't want those things to be your purpose in life. Amen. That's not the reason for faith. You better value people over money. You better value relationships and covenant and being sold out and loyal and faithful and truly caring about somebody over your own stuff. So communion just doesn't reveal what God is. It reveals what we are. What we are. Ask yourself that question. Am I a covenant person? Am I sold out to these God-given relationships in my life, or am I just here selfishly? Am I just here to enrich myself, or am I just here for answers for myself? Why don't you be an answer for somebody? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Today, we're going to go to Luke 22, and I'm going to give you three things that communion is, and we need to reflect on this as we prepare to receive communion today. Oh, and usually we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is always a great place to go for communion. But today we're going to look at what Christ said himself at the Last Supper, or it was the Passover feast. All right, it was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 22. We are going to start in verse 14, and of course, we pick up this passage. Jesus has sent his disciples ahead of him. They have prepared the Passover meal in this upper room that this gentleman had lent to them. And we pick it up in verse 14, and it says, "And when the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him." Look at verse 15, and we are going to come back to this. "Jesus said unto them, with desire. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Isn't that interesting that Jesus said that to them? All right. If we're not careful, we think communion is a religious ritual. It's not. If, you know, if you think that you can just show up in church and go through a ritual and that'll give you some kind of good God karma that'll cover you for the next couple of months, or if you think it's just a work that you can stand before God and say, see, there I was, I took communion, you know, you're deceiving yourself. If you think communion will save you, it won't. If you think communion will forgive you, it won't. All right, you have to confess those sins before the Lord. You have to understand what communion is and what it's not. It's not a ritual. It's not, grabbing, you know, some kind of rabbit's foot that gives you some kind of spiritual good luck or something like that. We're going to see what it is. Amen. And Jesus said, with desire. I have great desire to have this Passover. Of course, this is where he institutes communion. He says, I want to be with you before I go through this excruciating ordeal. In verse 16, he says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves, meaning they're going to pass that cup around. He says, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He said, but behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And you know exactly who it was that betrayed Jesus. Judas Iscariot is a gentleman. He was one of the original 12 apostles. He's sitting at that very table at that moment with the Lord Jesus himself and the others. In verse 22, it says, and truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Go back to verse 15 and let's give you the number one thing that communion is, right? Communion is not about what you are doing, but it is about who you are with. All right. Now, when I say communion is not about what you are doing, it's not about just eating a piece of bread and drinking some juice. All right. It is not a religious ritual. You're not performing a religious duty. It does not within itself bring you some kind of good luck. All right. We have to know and understand that. But yet, communion has become one of the latest fads in the body of Christ. If you watch Christian TV, if you see some of these huge name ministers, there's become this movement where you take communion every day by yourself and you're at home and you're doing this and you're just doing this every day and it'll bring you strength and health. It is no different than when people think that a pendant on a necklace or by holding beads and saying a prayer that it'll bring you some kind of blessing. It is no different. They have forgotten what it is. It's not about the ritual. It's about who you're committed to. It is not about what you're doing. It is who you are with. Look at verse 15. Jesus said with desire. That means with great longing and love for you, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus didn't just show up and say, okay, gentlemen, it is time for your religious ritual. Are you ready? You know, he showed up. He said, this meeting, as I institute communion, is about being together with you. It is about my love, my loyalty, and my faithfulness to you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus made it clear that this supper wasn't about a religious ritual. Yes, it's an ordinance of the church we are told to observe, all right? but we are to observe it with purpose and with the purpose that Christ intended. Not to just eat bread and drink from a little cup, you know, and think that we've performed some kind of duty. It is not about what you're doing, it is about who you are with, all right? The communion elements are not about what it can do for you personally. It is about what we do together as a church family. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Communion is a lesson in our own character. Communion is a surrender of our own selfishness. Right? Communion is a demonstration of covenant, of loyalty to the Lord, loyalty to our church family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did we show up today with a great desire to eat this supper one with another? Or did we just show up saying, give me my elements, let me have my ritual so I can see what it does for me personally? Ooh. See, I'm here to tell you, it's in remembrance of the Lord. It's to glorify what Christ did for us on the cross. It is to show his death until he comes again. Amen. But it's also to reveal our character and how committed we are to one another. Jesus didn't say, okay, gentlemen, sit down, take a number. It's time to get your religious ritual today. He said, with great love, I've brought you here with desire to be together with you. And as Christ gave out that communion, he's saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. I have served you with faithfulness. I've served you with sacrifice and with giving. He said, this is my blood, which is the blood of the New Testament that is shed for you. Jesus is there to declare his faithfulness to the ones that are around him. He said, this is what I do for you and serve you. Folks, can we say that for the people that are sitting in this room today? Have we shown up to serve one another? Are we sacrificial? Boy, it sure is getting quiet in here. Oh, come on. Go to verse 21. But notice what was forever at the table, you know, and is still today, even within church. Jesus says, but behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. You know, betrayal and disloyalty and unfaithfulness is always present in the church, especially in these days and ages that we live in. All right, and so now you see, you know, what communion was about. It was about faithfulness versus betrayal. Now you might be sitting here saying, Pastor, I'm not gonna betray the Lord. I'm not gonna betray anybody. Well, let's take a look here at some of these elements, all right? People, if we're not careful, people will come to the table of the Lord, you know, but they actually will be selfish and therefore be betrayers in nature. If we come to church, you know, and we just show up week in, week out, you know, we show up month in, month out, year in, year out, but yet we never serve in the ministry, there's a little bit of Judas in that. Judas was there at that table for the benefit of himself. He had 30 pieces of silver on his mind, did he not? He had turned the communion table into something of self-enrichment. When we are supposed to show up with a desire to pray for one another, to serve one another. You know, I'll tell you what, so many times people come to church and they just want to be served. But folks, so many people served you today, you don't even realize it. There was somebody that cleaned this floor for us to walk on today. There is somebody that parked those cars. There's people that cleaned those bathrooms, prepared songs, worked and prepared equipment in our audio video. People that, you know, did so much. Someone that prepared a sermon for you. Someone that, you know, all these things that people are serving. But if we just sit around and say, here, serve me, enrich me, that's just a little bit like Judas, is it not? Oh, people, when they're betrayers, they think only of themselves. They don't serve. They won't give. They won't pray for those around them. Communion is an oath of loyalty, not just to the Lord, but to the people of God. Woo! It's, you know, it's a membership, but it's not written on paper. It's not signed on the dotted line. It's proven through our actions and our love for one another. Oh, glory to God. I'm here to tell you, and I say this personally, and I mean it with all my heart, but also as a teachable moment. I refuse to come and sit at this table with you, because that's what we're doing in church. We're sitting at the table of the Lord, and I won't come and sit at this table and be something that I'm not. That's what Judas was doing. I'll be a covenant person. I will serve you. I will help you. I will pray for you. I will put, you know, your preferences above my own, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer. That's what covenant does. And Jesus was there to try to institute something that would get them to understand, sacrifice your own selfishness. Crucify yourself and love one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, see, don't show up to a church and just get to know a few people and then leave them in the dust. People are playing musical chairs with churches these days. They go around to place. They just wait. They like it as long as, you know, they're agreeing with it. But all of a sudden they get challenged. All of a sudden they get convicted. Then they jump to the next one. And then they sit there and they're happy and loving it until they get convicted or challenged. You know, or they get lazy or they get indifferent or whatever happens. They just keep playing musical chairs, going roundabout. And the reason is because they're not covenant people. I will not come into a place, smile and shake your hand, and then leave you in the dust that is not a covenant person. See, now, it's not wrong to visit a church and try to find out where God has you. But once you know where God has set you, be faithful. Be a covenant person there. Listen, we know and understand not everybody, God doesn't call everybody to this church as much as I wish he did. I really do. But I understand that there's other, you know, good church families that God will place others in. All right? And so we know that and understand that it's not wrong to look for a church. But if God sets you here, now remember, it says that God sets the members in the body as it pleases him, not as it always pleases us. So if you come here and you feel called here, but sometimes you see and hear things that don't exactly make you the happiest, just know it's scriptural. It's scriptural. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to come here, get to know you, leave you in the dust. Amen. I want to be a covenant person. Here's the second thing that communion is. Go with me to John 13. Oh, glory to God. These were scriptures that I honestly had never seen in this light before when studying about communion. Communion is not about what you're doing. It's about who you're with, who you're around, who you're loyal to. It is a matter of faithfulness versus betrayal. And of course, even at Jesus' table, there was a lot of faithfulness there, but there also was betrayal there as well. And when I say betrayal, folks, please don't misunderstand me. You're not betraying your church if you take a vacation. You understand? Please take one. Hey, you've all got your Biden bucks. Go on a vacation. Woo! Glory! I'm drunk on the government dime. Woo! You know, I've had a lot of people question, you know, and this is just off the cuff. Pastor, what do we do with this? You know, what do we do? Well, you're right. Reverend Justin says to tithe it. You know, that's true. With any increase, if someone hands you a card with a dollar in it, tithe it. You know, if the government sends you a check in the mail, tithe it. If it's increase, if you get a paycheck, tithe it. It's just the same thing we always do. And people have said, well, you know, I mean, shouldn't we like have to give more to the church or something? No, you don't have to. You know, and I've had a few, you know, kind of joke around and say, boy, it'd be a good time for a special offering in the church. Well, guess what? And of course, they said that we joked about that. But folks, if there's not a need for that, we don't do it. It's just that simple. So it's just, what do you do with it? You do what you've always done with it. You know, but I will say this, folks, you know, if you have debt and you have a chance to get out of debt, use that. If you received a check, you use that to get out of debt. Amen. That'll help you. Well, praise the Lord, that's free, no charge. You know, but take, you're not betraying your church if you take a vacation. You're not betraying your church. You understand? We're talking about this kind of mentality that people will come in and just, you know, gimme, 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 and the moment I'm challenged, I'm out of here. You know, all the time, people in our churches, they will visit and they will say, oh my goodness, I've been looking for a church just like this. This is what I've been looking for. Oh my goodness, we love it. Oh, we're here to stay. And you know what? A couple weeks later, I never see him again. It's the skeptical folks that we were looking for. But the ones that come in, they say they love it. See, what they're saying basically is, I love it because I agreed with it today. But the moment I'm challenged or convicted, I'm gone. But the people that are kind of skeptical, they always turn out to be the best church members. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go to John 13. Here's the second thing that communion is. Communion is a declaration of love for your covenant family. Watch John 13, 1, speaking of Jesus. And again, this is the night of the Passover, the same meal that he instituted, the communion. And also, this was the same time frame as Luke 22. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This was what Jesus, this is why he set up that Passover meal. That's why he brought them together. He wanted to show, I'm going to love you to the end. He said, as long as I'm on this earth, I will look at you through the eyes of covenant. I will look at you through the eyes of being faithful, of being loyal. Amen. And it's not about just the institution of family church. You understand? This is a church idea no matter where somebody goes to church. This is the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. I saw that verse. It just jumped out at me. It says Jesus was there at that supper to institute communion to say, I'm going to love you to the end. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be faithful to you. Praise the Lord. Yes. He held this supper because he loved his disciples. He was declaring his faithfulness to them. So ask yourselves, who are you faithful to? Are you loving God's people? Are you serving them? If not, you may be selfish. Praise the Lord. So communion is a declaration of love for your covenant family. You understand that it's not about what we're doing as much as it's who we're with and our loyalty and faithfulness to one to another. All right? Now, you're there in John chapter 13. Here's the third thing that communion is. Communion is about serving. Communion is about serving. All right. Now let's keep reading here in John chapter 13. Let's go to verse 2. It says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, Jesus arose from supper and laid aside his garments or his coat and took a towel and girded himself or wrapped it around his waist. All right. What did Jesus do here? What was he about to do? The word towel here, it means apron. It means literally the servant's apron. All right. Oh, my goodness. Here's a passage of scripture that is so seldomly taught on in churches. Here we go. Verse 5. It says, after that, Jesus poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. It says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. So you know now that the foot washing wasn't just washing their feet. It was symbolizing something. All right? It was symbolizing how Christ would truly cleanse them of their sin. And Peter said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, he says, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. And then Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Woo! There's that selfish Peter again. No, I'm just... But he was making a point. Well, if in that case, Lord, then I don't want to miss it. Verse 10, he says, Jesus said to him, he that is washed need not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. He said, you're clean, but not all of you is clean. Speaking of who? Judas. Doesn't that give us the impression that Judas was there still for the foot washing? Isn't that interesting? Now, I looked at the timeline and, you know, the Bible, the Gospels aren't all chronological, so you don't know for sure. It's kind of tough to tell. Was Judas Iscariot there when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? There seems to be some evidence that indeed he was there. But let's just think about it. If he was, Jesus knelt down and washed the feet of the man that would betray him. What does that tell us? When we come to the Lord's Supper and we sit at his table, he's going to be faithful to us, even where we're not faithful to him. Now, does that mean that that excludes our responsibility? Of course not. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. The Lord took on the servant's apron, right? And he served those around him. If he put on the servant's apron, why do so many people in local churches today, they don't serve in the church? If he put on the servant's garment, how much more should we? There's a saying in churches, and it's true. 20% of the people do about 100% of the work. You know, there's always a small percentage in the church that are make things happen. Folks, listen, I love having you here. I appreciate, of course, faithfulness begins with being faithful in our worship services. But let's not just sit there month in, month out, year in, year out, and not serve one another. What do you think these departments are for? You know, we can serve in the nursery. We can serve in the parking lot. We can serve in the choir. We can serve in all these things. Come on now. But there was somebody at that table that was just serving themselves. He wanted self-enrichment, and he was willing to betray Christ to do it. Wow. If we're not careful, see, serving is Christ-like. Serving is the reason why Jesus washed their feet during communion. Now, don't get nervous here today. All right? You know, some churches, they have foot washing services, and I'm not here to judge that or criticize that. Obviously, it was not an ordinance that Christ instituted that has to be done. We're going to read it. He does instruct that his people, you know, do this for one another, but he says this is an example for you. Obviously, in that day, in that culture, everyone would have basins of water in their homes. All right, when you walked into a house, it was customary to offer them a foot washing as a means of serving them and as a means of courtesy. Obviously, Paul the Apostle, in any of the letters to the churches, he never commanded that they have foot washing services, but water baptism and communion was ordered by Christ and in the letters to the churches. See, that's obviously, we can't take just one passage and make a whole doctrine out of it. It has to be established, you know, through multiple witnesses and multiple books of the Bible. In Christ, we're going to read this here in just a second. Look at verse 11. It says, for Jesus knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, possibly Judas included. Wow. But think about what happens in churches. People get upset if there's a song they don't like. And Jesus said, here, betrayer, let me just wash your feet too. Why? Because when Jesus said, I desire to be with you, I've desired to love you, and I'm going to love you to the end. How many of you know that included Judas? He loved Judas to the end. Jesus didn't cause Judas to fail. Judas caused Judas to fail. He yielded to the temptations of the enemy. Folks, when we sit in church and we're selfish, we're just opening ourselves up to the devil. We sit in church and we don't want to serve anybody. We're opening ourselves up to the devil. Oh, boy. Pastor, I thought we could just have a happy little communion service. This is what communion is about. It is about my loyalty to the Lord. It is about my love for him. It is about his death, burial, resurrection, and his coming again. But it's also about my love for you, my loyalty and faithfulness to you, to my wife, to my children. I want to be a covenant man. Are you covenant-minded? Boy, that sounded real, real encouraging. It was like, are you covenant-minded? Yeah, I guess so. Are you covenant-minded? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Communion is about serving. Verse 13, Jesus says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Is there anybody here that would call him that? Yes. See, there's a lot of people that want to call Jesus Lord, but they do not call him master. You know, so oh, I believe he's Lord. Yeah, he's Lord whether you think so or not. But there's a big difference when you say master. Lord is who he is. Master is who you're submitted to. All right, verse 14. He says, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He says in verse 15, he says, for because I have given you an example. And here's the reason why it's not an ordinance to the church. It's an example of what to do. That you should do as I have done to you. He said you should serve one another. You should love one another. This is what this supper was about. Jesus is trying to get over to them. Go over to verse 34. Yeah. Let's not just let everyone serve us. And then we're not serving anyone. Like I said, someone cleaned that floor you walked on today. Someone arranged that chair. Faithful tithers paid for it. Someone played that music. Someone prepared the sermon. Someone shoveled the walkway a couple months ago. You know what I mean? When we have snow, guess what? These ushers are showing up. You know, everything is set up for us. So, you know, when nursery and LA and KA open again, you know, those youth groups and all that, those people, they're serving us. They're serving our family. When people are cleaning this church and, you know, all the departments that go on, praise the Lord. Someone paid the bills of this place. Jesus said this, and this is here as a result of the communion table. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another, even as I have loved you. Amen. We should serve. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. He didn't say, we'll know that you're a believer because of the rituals that you partake in. We don't know if you're a believer just because you eat the bread and drink the juice. We know who's a believer by their love towards God's people. It's one thing to say, oh, I love God and I need God in my life, but I don't like church people. Well, those church people happen to be God's kids. And you can't love him without loving them. Now, here's the thing about God's kids. They're not perfect like the Father. They don't always act like the Father. This church isn't perfect. The pastor of this church isn't perfect. And none of us here act perfect all the time. So we're always going to have opportunities to be gracious and forgiving. Amen. One, communion is not about what we're doing, it's about who we're with. Two, communion is a declaration of love for our church family, right? Which is our covenant family. Three, communion is about serving. It's about crucifying selfishness. It's about loyalty and faithfulness and what kind of covenant person you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, here I am. And I'm here to be faithful to you. I'm going to love you until I leave this earth. And he said, you don't let me show you. Give me that servant apron. He says, I know I'm Lord and I'm master, but I'll show you what spirituality looks like. It doesn't look like you having visions all the time. It doesn't mean you're going to see angels all the time, but it means you're all the time going to pick up that apron, that servant apron, and you're going to put it upon yourself to love and care for the people in your covenant family. This is what faithfulness is. This is what communion is. Amen. It's a look into our character and our integrity to discover what we value most. What do you value the most? And if you're here just for yourself, if you're here to get a little good God feeling because it happened to be Communion Sunday, I'm telling you, you're missing it. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm called to this church. Well, probably after this after a sermon like this, there's probably a few that feel like that, you know. But it's not about, you know, we're not trying to recruit or to subjugate people. But my heart's desire that while I pastor on this earth, I want to raise up covenant people, you know, a covenant church. It's not about a clique. You know, people call us, you know, oh, that church down there, that's a cult. Yeah, I've heard it 1,000 times before. Can't you come up with some new material? Come up with a new insult, because the whole cult thing hasn't stuck, just so you know. You know, I love how people, you know, they say that. They've never been through our doors. They've never been in here. And see, and the people that have and they say that, they don't want to change. Because you walk through these doors, you're going to get the Bible. You're going to get God's word. It's going to instruct us. It's going to encourage us. But it's also going to correct us if need be. Amen. It's because I love you. I care about you. And I don't want you to spend your time on this earth not being a covenant person. Covenant. Even if this isn't your church, go find the one that is. And be a covenant person. Amen. Did you get some help out of this today? Crucify your selfishness. Serve somebody. When you hear about somebody going through a problem or an issue, pray for them. Don't be so self-absorbed. Don't let this spirit that is in the world and even in the modern American church, it's about self-enrichment. It's become about money. It's become about, you know, promotion within society and all this stuff. Listen, God will promote you. God will bless you. He'll bless you better than you could ask or think. But our goal is to be faithful, to seek him first. Folks, if you're here today and you want to receive communion, let me just say a few things. People have asked us all the time, what's the criteria that must be met for me to receive communion at Family Church? Well, there's a biblical criteria. And it's not whether or not you're a member, because you know what? We do not have a formal membership here. Because you know what? In the past, we used to do membership classes. And you know what I always found? We'd do this. We'd have membership Sunday. We've had dozens of people up here at the altar, you know, receiving the right hand of fellowship and going through the membership process. And you know what? We've learned every single time. Every time that's happened, there were several people that were up front that we never saw them again. If we think membership is signing on a dotted line, we're deceived. And so you know what? We got rid of the dotted line. And church family will just be proven through our actions. It'll be proven through our faithfulness. It'll be proven through our covenant-mindedness. Amen? So there's no class required or anything like that. The Bible criteria to receive communion is that you're a born-again Christian, that you've personally made Jesus your Lord and Savior. All right? If you're here to take a religious ritual, I'm here to just tell you. Let me say this with love and kindness. I'm not only here to tell you, I'm here to warn you. The scripture promises damnation upon those that take communion unworthily. If you're just here to get the religious duty done, I'm telling you, don't touch it. Because it's sacred. And I know, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's saying that in church. If you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we're not saying someone has to be perfect to take communion, all right? But I'm saying if you show up on church, it's like, okay, I'm here for communion day, and I'll wait until the next one. Or I'll just show up on Christmas and Easter and Communion Sunday. Or I'll just look for this ritual. I'm hoping that it will bless me personally in some way. I'm telling you, if that's how you're perceiving communion, don't take it. But if you're going to be sold out to the Lord, if you're going to be sold out to God's people, it doesn't have to be this church. But if you're going to be sold out and if you're covenant-minded, then receive communion. And also remember that communion is a time of self-reflection. The Bible says, let a man examine himself before he takes of that cup and eats of that bread. All right, and so what we're going to do today, here in a moment, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to give folks an invitation to know Jesus if they have not made Jesus their Lord. And then what we're going to do, Reverend Tony and the team is going to come forward, and we're going to get ready to give you instructions of how to receive the elements. And then, of course, we will wait until everyone is served, and then we will partake, and it will be very simple to follow and to understand. But for now, let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we love you and praise you. Lord Jesus, that Passover supper was not about religion. It was about relationship. Lord, you brought those men together to declare your love for them. Father, you brought them together to declare your love for us. And Father, we know that it's not about ritual. It's not about just the eating of a piece of bread or drinking from that cup. It's about being covenant-minded. It's about being sold out to you. It's about believing and declaring that you died and rose again and that you're coming again. It's about our love for one another. It's about crucifying our selfishness. It's about examining our hearts. And Father, I would dare say, everybody in this room, myself included, we all have things that we need to change. There's things in our own lives that we need to judge. And so, Lord, we will do so. But first, we need to give everybody an opportunity, if you have not done so, an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Folks, this is sacred stuff. And it's serious. And God loves you. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to personally confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He wants you to believe with all your heart that he raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Again, it's not a ritual. It's about sincerity. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus a Lord and your Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to have you talk to some church leader or something. But right there in your seat with eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to know that heaven is my home. I want to know that I'm cleansed from sin. I want to know that I'm delivered from eternal punishment in a place called hell. If you want to be saved because you are unsure today, I'm simply going to ask you to raise your hand. And once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and you can make that decision right there in your seat or out in your vehicle if you're out in our drive-in portion or even watching by live stream. But if you're here today and you know you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else before we pray that you'd say, yes, Pastor, I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else before we pray? We are going to get an opportunity to rededicate, of course, while we're preparing to take communion. But we did have a hand. So let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer with all your heart. God loves you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, isn't it good to see people coming to Christ? Hey, and if you just received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You can take communion here today. folks, please don't misunderstand me. I would never want to give the impression that someone has to have everything figured out and be perfect before you receive communion. But I was just addressing that mentality that just thinks, you know, that communion is some kind of ritual that gets us a little bit of God good luck for a little while. Please don't think of it like that. All right? So what we're going to do here is I'm going to give you some simple instructions. What we're going to have here, we're going to have four communion stations for you to receive, all right? And so at this time, Pastor Brad and the ushers, if you guys want to go ahead and get those four stations ready, there's going to be a station in each corner of this sanctuary, all right? And what's going to happen, of course, you can see our ushers are going to get masked up. They're getting all gloved up. Nobody has personally handled anything that you will consume, all right? I know I'm disappointed. We didn't get the spacesuits, you know. It would have looked so cool to have them standing over there, right? You know, but what we're going to do is we're going to have a couple of ushers that are going to be in the aisles. And what we're going to do in the first four rows, all right, if you are in the first four rows of your section, when I call your section, if you're in the first four rows, you're going to come forward to whatever station is on your side. And so these two sections, you would come forward to this side, or if you're behind the fourth row, you would go back to the station on that side. Same thing in these two sections. When I call your section, if you're in the first four rows, you will come up to this side. If you are behind the first four rows, then you will go to that back corner. Does that make sense to everybody? Does everyone get that? Of course, we're going to have ushers in the aisles, and we will be instructing you. Once everybody is served, we will then pray over the elements, and we will receive communion. Drive in, folks. We have somebody set aside just for you. They are going to come out and serve you. And of course, anybody, anywhere, if you don't want to receive communion, you do not have to. Please know, we are not, you know, forcing this upon anybody. And so, folks, what I'm going to do, Reverend Tony and the team are going to be playing a song, and then I will point to your section. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stagger the sections so we do not have a traffic jam, all right? So once you come forward, you will select your own juice. You will get your wafer, your bread wafer there, and then you can head back to your seats. Just wait for me to point to your section, and then we'll go. All right, let's see. Pastor Brad and the ushers, if you guys want to go stand in your place in the aisles, they're going to be standing right there at that fourth row. So if you're in the fourth row or forward, you will come to the forward station. If you're behind that, you'll go to the back station. Praise the Lord. Reverend Tony, if you would, please.
What can wash away my sin? Thank you. Thanks.
praise you, Father God. Father, we just praise you and we worship you. Of course, before we take communion, we need to make sure that everybody has been served who wants to be served. Is there anybody within the sanctuary that has not yet been served that would like to be? We want to make sure not to miss anybody. Of course, ushers, have all of our folks in our AV department, have they been served? Praise the Lord. And let's see, we're just want to make sure that everyone in the parking lot had an opportunity to receive. Praise the Lord. Can I get a thumbs up from an usher? Have we checked on everybody? We're all taken care of out there in the parking lot. We're all good. So let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Of course, everyone in the worship team is served. We just don't want to miss anybody. Let's go ahead and let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father God, you are so faithful and you are so good. And Father, we thank you for what this communion represents. Lord Jesus, you instituted it as an act of love towards your people. You loved your own to the very end. And Father, we know that this communion, it represents the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, every time we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we do declare the Lord's death and his resurrection and his coming again. And Father, we just take this moment now to reflect on our lives, not to judge anybody else, but to look inwardly upon ourselves and to know the things that need to change. Father, we know that this earth is going to get darker and darker. And these are not the days or the times to be playing games with your house, with your word, with this life that you've called us to. And Father, I believe that each one of us is making a consecration today to be dedicated, to be loyal, to be faithful in where you've called us. If it's in this church, great. If it's not, then Father, I pray that they would find that church family and be a covenant member there. And Father, we just love you and we praise you. And Father, we thank you for these elements. We receive them blessed to our bodies. We honor what they stand for. And Father, we consider it sacred. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat." After he had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood that is shed for the remission of sins." He said, "Take and drink." Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name. Father, we thank you for this holy time together. Father, we decide right now to love one another as you, Lord, loved us. You took the servant's apron. You served. You washed their feet. You humbled yourself to those that you loved. And Father, I thank you. We do that here. That you'd look upon our church family and that you would see people loving one another, praying for one another, crucifying our own selfishness, changing our minds about being so self-absorbed. Father, we're here to be a supply. We're here to be faithful to you and to our families and our covenant families. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you would join me by standing to your feet. If you could stay on the platform. What we're going to do is we're going to just take a moment. Can we sing Oh the Blood, the second song that we were singing there? We'll sing that for just a moment, and then we will be dismissed, and I will just come up, and I'm just going to dismiss you. But for this time, let's all sing it. Let's not just listen to our team. Let's just fill these rafters with worship and with praise. Amen. Reverend Tony, if you would. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Father, you're our saving God, our healing God, our providing God. Father, you're our protector. Father, we thank you. You're the God of all miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.